They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Is Bank of America selling its future to save its present?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Bank of America has just taken a drastic step in search of cash. It is selling much of its stake in the China Construction Bank, which gave B of A away into the fast-growing Chinese real estate market. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Bank of America needs cash fast, $50 billion, to convince investors and international regulators that it's strong. So it's been selling assets, like its credit card business in Canada and Europe, and now billions of shares in China Construction Bank. That gets Bank of America more than $3 billion closer to its goal. Arthur Krober at Dragonomics Research in Beijing says even though it was a fire sale, they got a good deal.
It's very unlikely that China Construction Bank's stock price is going to be much higher 2 or 3 or 5 years from now.
That's because Chinese banks have been lending a lot in recent years. Eventually, they'll need to show more capital, the way Bank of America has to do right now. That could limit growth. B of A still holds 5% of China Construction Bank and plans to continue what both are calling a strategic partnership. But Krober says the Chinese bank hasn't treated B of A much like a partner since it bought in. It seemed to mostly just want the money. And there are now plenty of other investors willing to provide that. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Well, as parts of the East Coast clean up from Hurricane Irene, economists, insurance companies, and government officials are tallying up the cost of the disaster. And they're coming up with some wildly different figures. University of Maryland economist Peter Morici is with us now to talk about that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of different numbers out there for how much this hurricane is going to cost in the end. The Wall Street Journal is saying $12 billion. Another estimate says $7 to $10 billion. And you yourself say $45 billion. How do we know which figure to trust here?
Well, all of these are estimates. You look at past hurricanes and the kind of damage that they did to get the property damage. Although it was only a Category 1, the flood damage is of enormous magnitude and very difficult to compute because a lot of it is not covered by insurance. A Category 1 normally gives us about $14 billion in property damage. However, because of the flooding, I've raised my estimate on property damage to $20 billion. As for the lost business, we'll lose about 2 days' economic activity over the next 2 weeks in those areas, so I come up with another $20 to $25 billion.
But that seems very specific for something that, you don't know if somebody's going to go shopping here or go to a restaurant there and figure out what the economic damage will actually be.
That's true. However, we do know that from past disasters that a certain amount of shopping doesn't happen. Some of it gets shifted around, but some of it doesn't happen. Now, a good deal of that business will come back later, but there will be an immediate impact, just like there will be rebuilding. Normally, rebuilding is very costly to a society, but in this case, it won't be, simply because we have so many unemployed resources in the construction industry.
Do you think that this is going to be something that we will see in the GDP figures that come out, that this will be a big enough impact from Hurricane Irene that we'll actually see it in our economic growth?
We're going to get a total rebuilding, in my judgment, of about $30 billion between rebuilding and folks deciding to do better. That often happens after a disaster. We actually expand our capital stock. But that'll be spread over many quarters. It'll be spread over, 2 to 3 years with a tailing effect after that. So, in the first quarter of next year, you see $10 billion. That's not a lot.
Peter Morici, economist at the University of Maryland. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Nice to be with you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning. London up 2%, Paris down slightly. And here in the U.S., we got a mea culpa of sorts from the head of the world's largest mutual fund. Bill Gross at PIMCO says he bet wrong when he sold all of his firm's U.S. government bonds over inflation concerns. No sorries on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow surged 254 points to close at 11,539.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. Healthcare coverage is supported in part by the California Endowment, a health foundation dedicated to expanding access to health care for all Californians.
The University of Southern California is launching a campaign to raise $6 billion in the next several years. That would be a record for college fundraising. So why does USC think it can happen in this economy? From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
With the market swinging around and the economy looking gloomy, this may not seem like the best time to ask donors for large handouts. But Patrick Rooney with the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana University says it's good to be first in line when things get better.
As the economy grows, typically philanthropy grows. And so to get out in front and to have a big, bold vision and a big, bold campaign probably has some advantages in the marketplace.
USC has already raised $1 billion in the early so-called quiet phase of its campaign. Al Cecchio is Senior Vice President for University Advancement. He says the key is to figure out what interests wealthy alumni and then connect them with programs they're excited about.
That is really the science and skill of fundraising. Through the course of that relationship, you determine what they're interested in, and then in many ways it's almost like being a matchmaker.
Cecchio says half the money will go toward building the university's endowment to help attract big-name faculty and provide more scholarships. USC's endowment lags many of its peers. A larger pool of money would also help the university ride out the ups and downs of the economy. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, remember the flip video camera, which was supposed to be the next big thing until every smartphone in the world got a built-in video camera? Well, now the founder of Flip Video has launched a new venture, a chain of high-tech grilled cheese restaurants. Sounds like a good business. First, you order your grilled cheese using your cell phone. All right. And that creates a QR code, which you then take to the restaurant to scan. Okay. Then your order appears on the order board, and then your grilled cheese is put in a grill with a built-in microwave. And then the QR code, well, anyway, sounds like a winning idea to me. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Ask a platoon of Marines why go green, you're going to get a lot of this.
I mean, come on. Like, seriously, it's not an environmental thing. It's all about trying to help us accomplish a mission.
Guns versus batteries. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Tactical trade-offs when troops use green tech. It's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.